From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. We hope you and your family are safe and healthy amidst the ongoing COVID-19 crisis. We have some important updates and information to share on today's show, including the latest from the Nebraska legislature and what state senators are doing in response to the coronavirus, and how churches are on the front lines leading and serving communities. We'll also be joined by a special guest. Nebraska Secretary of State Bob Evnen will be with us today to talk about voting and what you need to know about the upcoming May primary election. But first, the Nebraska legislature has passed and Governor Pete Ricketts has now signed an $83.6 million COVID-19 emergency funding bill for necessities connected to the novel coronavirus that is spreading throughout the state. The money will be going to the Department of Health and Human Services and the University of Nebraska Medical Center for things such as medical and laboratory equipment, personal protective equipment, UV light boxes, staffing, and testing. 45 of 49 senators came together and only took about 25 minutes to vote on the bill for the first time and then wait for it to be signed and read into the record. The funding bill passed unanimously, and in an emotional speech after the vote, Speaker of the Legislature Jim Scheer told senators he appreciated them coming in this week and passing the bill. The speaker said that the legislature provided not only what the governor asked for, but had additional funds that will help the state recover and minimize the damage done to the state's economy and residents in the future. So the legislature came together and passed this important emergency funding bill unanimously. We didn't see any political games or partisanship. However, they did have to eat up a precious few of the remaining legislative working days in a short 60-day working session. So we still don't yet know when we can expect the legislature to be called back into session for the remainder of the 60-day short session this year. But when they do, they will now be on day 43, so not too much time left. And we're not really sure what to expect, but it sounds like things might not be business as usual if and when the legislature is called back into session. So we'll continue to keep you informed and updated on the status of our state legislature and some important pieces of legislation that are still pending. And you can find out all about the most important bills we are tracking and working on this session by visiting the Bill Tracker page on our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. But it's not just government leaders and state senators stepping up and passing bills. What we're seeing is churches across the country and in our state who are on the front lines responding to the coronavirus and serving those in need. If there were ever a chance for the church to step up, this is it. Because while people are frantic and confused and afraid and looking for answers, the church is in the unique position of providing for them. And as God's people, we also have the opportunity to help and minister in ways that no one else can. And that's what we're seeing happen. There are pastors and churches organizing food drives and hosting streaming services online, raising funds for those in need, serving and delivering food and supplies to the elderly, and continuing to proclaim the good news of the gospel and giving people hope. And we have to continue thinking creatively about how we, as the church, can lean into this crisis and be the place of stability and calm that so many people desperately need. There are always ways for Christians to engage the community if we refuse to hunker down and shrink back. So please, even if you're not able to physically attend a church service on Sunday, it's so important that we continue supporting our local churches and looking for ways to serve those in need in our communities. And there are many ways right now and moving forward to do that. And one area in particular that I think has caused a lot of concern and questions in our state and across the country is how the coronavirus is going to and has already impacted voting and elections. And so today we have the privilege of talking with the person responsible for overseeing and facilitating elections in Nebraska. I'm joined now by Nebraska's own Secretary of State, Bob Evnen. Secretary Evnen, thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
My pleasure, Nate. Thank you.
Well, Secretary Evnen, first let me just begin by asking, before the coronavirus has sort of turned our world upside down, before all this has happened, what were your goals and priorities since being elected as Secretary of State in 2018?
Well, of course, one of my duties as Secretary of State is serving as the Chief Election Officer of Nebraska. And one of the policy initiatives I had in that regard was to establish voter ID in our state. Voter ID is just common sense. It's the vast majority of Nebraskans and Americans support it. Gallup did a poll in 2016 and found that 81% of Americans support voter ID, 77% of minorities support voter ID, because people want to make sure their vote counts and that it isn't canceled out by a ballot cast by someone who wasn't entitled to. So we're continuing to work on voter ID legislation. It's sort of characterized as controversial, but this Gallup study that I just mentioned demonstrates that it really isn't controversial. And the other thing I'd just tell you about voter ID is in our own preliminary look, it appears to us that 98% of Nebraskans who are eligible to register to vote already have state-issued photo IDs. So we're talking about 2% of people in our state who are eligible to register who don't already have state-issued photo IDs. That's not a large number. That's a number that's manageable. We can find those people. We can figure out what's the roadblock there and address it. The purpose of voter ID is to help further secure our elections. It is not to stop people who are entitled to vote from doing so. And I am committed to making sure that everybody who's entitled to vote is able to do so.
Well, I know we appreciate your efforts to make sure that we do have safe and secure elections, and citizens across Nebraska are confident in the election process. And so now let me turn and ask you, since the coronavirus pandemic, there's been a lot of discussion about how this might impact the 2020 election. So how has the coronavirus crisis so far impacted your work in the Secretary of State's office?
Well, it's affected, as it has with everyone everywhere, it's affected everything we do. And there are a number of critical services that are provided by the Secretary of State's office in addition to voting. And we're working with our staff. We're making sure that our staff is kept safe, but that we're also able to continue to provide the services that are crucial in the business sector. On the voting side, we're taking steps that we never anticipated we would have to do, but we are working creatively to make sure that our election will go forward on May 12th, the primary will go forward on May 12th, and we're taking steps to assure that we have polling places and we have poll workers. And that the poll workers and our voters are kept safe. And in addition to that, we have initiatives to promote early voting, which we can talk about.
Yeah, so I think this is really important. So right now, you do in fact anticipate that the Nebraska May 12th primary will be able to move forward as planned.
Yes, we're committed to holding our primary on May 12th. And the governor expressed that in his news conference. I have expressed it as well. We will have our primary. The polls will be open on May 12th. And voters who would like to cast their ballot at the polls are going to be able to do so.
And we've seen, you know, some earlier states that have those early primaries, unfortunately, did have to postpone their elections. So I think a lot of people will find some reassurance in knowing that our primary is moving forward as scheduled. So as we're getting closer to that primary on May 12th, what is your message to voters, or what do you want Nebraskans to be aware of as we approach our May primary?
Well, the first thing is that the polls will be open on May 12th. And voters who would like to cast their vote at their ballot at the polls will be able to do so, and we're going to keep them safe and we'll keep the poll workers safe. But the other thing that I really want voters to know is that if you don't want to go to the polls on May 12th, if you would rather not go to the polls on May 12th, there's another option for you. You can vote early. You can vote early by mail, and it's not difficult to do. I'm encouraging people to go ahead and vote early by mail. Now, what we have, every voter in the state has the right to vote by mail and has had that for years. Every single voter in this state could vote by mail today if they wanted to do it. But we have what the statistics are that 25% of our voters vote by mail and 75% of our voters go to the polls. So what I'm thinking in the May 12 primary is I don't want to see the May 12 primary have reduced numbers as a result of the coronavirus. I don't want us to give up our precious right to vote to a microbe, and we don't have to. If you don't want to go to the polls, you can vote early by mail, and we can discuss how you go about doing that. It's not difficult.
Yeah, so what does that look like for people who might be unfamiliar with that process? How can they secure a mail-in ballot for the primary election?
Well, first of all, every voter in the state will be receiving an application for an early ballot. So you're going to get in the mail, you'll get an early ballot application, whether you requested one or not. Normally, you have to request it. This year in this primary, you don't. You'll just automatically be receiving a letter in the mail that is an application for an early ballot. If you don't want to wait for that or you haven't received it, you're concerned about it, you can also get the early ballot request form online. You can get it at the Secretary of State's website, sos.nebraska.gov, sos.nebraska.gov. And the first page that comes up will be a page with a if you're on the right page, there's a good-looking guy in a red tie, and there's a link there to an early ballot application. It's easy to get to, and you click on that, and you'll be able to download an early ballot application. But you should be receiving one in the mail anyway. Every voter in the state will receive one in the mail.
Wow. So, I mean, this is...
There is an exception to that, Nate. And that is, there are 11 counties already vote by mail. So you're not going to get an early ballot request form if you are in a county that's already voting by mail. You'll just get your ballot.
Okay. And so every registered voter in the state for the May 12th primary will automatically be sent an application for a mail-in ballot through the mail. Has that been done before in Nebraska?
No, it hasn't been done before. Normally, to get an early ballot, you have to request an application. You go to your election commissioner, you go to your county clerk, and you request an early ballot application, and then they'll send it to you. The difference this time is that we're sending one of those applications to every voter.
And one of the things you mentioned earlier was, you know, voter participation and ensuring that as many people are as possible or would like to are still able to cast their ballot. How concerned are you with the coronavirus about maybe seeing reduced voter turnout or low participation in our May primary?
I don't think because of the steps we're taking to assure that the polling places are safe, and because of the steps we're taking to make it easier for people who normally go to the polls to vote early if they wish to do so, I don't think we're going to have a downturn in turnout. I think Nebraskans appreciate how precious the right to vote is, and I don't think that they're going to be defeated in exercising that right by a virus. So I don't expect that our turnout is going to be terribly impacted by this.
I certainly hope that's the case, and I appreciate the efforts of your office to ensure that we do see high voter turnout. And I know one of the things that you've said before is that Nebraska is a no-excuse state for voters who wish to vote early. What do you mean by that?
It's a no-excuse state in that it isn't like requesting an absentee ballot where you have to say, well, I'm going to be out of the state. I'm going to be out of the country. I have a reason why I need it. You don't have to have a reason stated. All you have to do is ask for it. If you ask for an early ballot, you automatically receive it. There is no reason that you have to have. All you have to do is ask for it.
And I also want to clarify here, one of the things you said, there's some new opportunities with mail-in ballot. Everyone will automatically be sent an application for that. But you do still also anticipate that there will be polling places open for in-person voting on May 12th.
Yes. Nebraskans love going to the polls to vote. And that's another thing you can see from the fact that everybody could vote by mail today if they wanted to. But 75% of Nebraskans continue to go to the polls. Going to the polls is something that is something that people enjoy. It's not just a duty to vote. It's a pleasure to vote. People see their neighbors. Our ballots are secret ballots. No one is entitled to know which ovals you darken on your ballot. The only person who's entitled to know that is you. But the act of voting and getting together at the polls, people really enjoy this, and they see their friends and neighbors, and they participate in a process that's very important and meaningful to them, as it should be. Nebraskans really like going to the polls. We're going to keep the polls, and we're going to keep the polls open. And one of the things that is sort of lurking in the background here is, well, why don't we go to an all-male election, an all-mail-in election? That's M-A-I-L, not M-A-L-E. It's an all M-A-I-L-N election.
An important clarification, for sure.
And so we're not going to go to an all mail-in election. It's very difficult to make that transformation. It takes years and years to do it if you're going to do it correctly. One of my colleagues is Secretary Kim Wyman. She's the Secretary of State of Washington, and she converted her state into an all mail-in election. Before they even began that process, 60% of their voters were requesting ballots to be early ballots by mail. 60% of their voters did that before they even attempted to begin it. And once it reached that level, it still took them 5 years to do it. You can't just turn on a dime and have all mail-in elections. We're not going to do that here for the May 12 primary. And Nebraskans really like going to the polls. I don't see us going to an all mail-in election in the future either. What we're doing now is taking extraordinary steps to assure that people are safe if they go to the polls, and that people have the opportunity to vote if they do not wish to go to the polls this time.
And you know, it's interesting. I'll say in my experience, and I can't speak for everyone, but I would venture to guess for most people, when you go to a polling place, they are primarily managed by senior citizens who have volunteered to help at a polling place. And of course, as they are right now the most vulnerable population to the coronavirus, is this maybe an opportunity for younger generations to get to step up and serve in that capacity and volunteer for those important polling place volunteer positions?
Yes, absolutely. And that's my hope. My hope is that this will become an opportunity for us to grow a new crop of poll workers, of younger people. And for crying out loud, to be a younger person, you only have to be under 60. Or maybe it's 65, I'm not sure, but that's the threshold for the more at-risk population. We're going to go out and ask service clubs to help us out. Service clubs all over the state are wondering, how can we help? How can we support our communities at this time? And here's a great way you can support your community. Serve as a poll worker. Poll workers, by the way, are paid. So if a service club supplies a number of poll workers, the pay that would go to those poll workers can go directly to the service club and the service club's coffers for use for the charitable purposes that it chooses, in addition to serving the community as a poll worker. We will train our poll workers virtually. We'll have virtual training for poll workers. They'll be trained online. We're putting television programs up that they can watch if they wish to do it that way. You're not going to have to gather in a large group. The restrictions in some counties against gatherings of 10 or more do not apply to polling places. But at the same time, we're going to be separating poll workers out. They'll be spread between them. Every precinct will have, at every poll, every precinct at every polling place will have a kit that has hand sanitizer, disinfecting wipes, gloves, and masks for the poll workers. In addition to that, we're hopeful we're going to be able to provide every voter with their own pen to mark the ballot. This is the first time we're going to be marking the ballot using pens instead of pencils, black pens, and we're going to see if we can't give a pen to each individual voter that they can then keep. So we're taking all sorts of steps to assure safety for poll workers. This is a great time for people to step up and help their communities in this way.
Well, this is so important, and I think you're exactly right. This is really an excellent and essential opportunity for people to get to step up and serve our communities and our state in that capacity. And I'd love to hear your perspective just in general. Is it a challenge to find people to serve and work polling places?
Sure, it's a challenge. It's a challenge when we don't have coronaviruses running around. But democracy is not easy. But this is essential for our democratic republic. If we don't have free, fair, secure elections that people have confidence in, then people are not going to have confidence in the legitimacy of their elected officials or the laws that they pass or enforce. This is absolutely fundamental to our democratic republic. They're really, in terms of governance, it is bedrock for us, and we have to proceed forward with it.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that and giving us your time today and sharing some really vital information. I know a lot of people were wondering how this might impact elections, and I think this provides a lot of people reassurances to know that you and your office are really going to great lengths to ensure that we do maintain fair, safe, and free elections. So in closing, Secretary Evenin, I'd just love for you just to take a moment to just share what you would like to just in general about the importance and the duty that we have as citizens to go vote, and from your position as Secretary of State for Nebraska, what that should mean to us and why every citizen should go out and make sure that they're participating in our May primary.
Well, look, Nate, what was the great political philosophical breakthrough represented by the formation of the United States at the end of the 18th century? What was it? It was that we don't get our rights from a monarch. We don't get our rights from a dictator. We don't get our rights from the king. Where do we get our rights? We get our rights from our Creator, from the Almighty. We get our rights from God. It is imbued in each and every one of us as an individual. And so how do we govern ourselves? We don't have a king who owns us. How do we govern ourselves? We govern ourselves by electing representatives from among us to serve in governance for a period of time. That's how critical this is. This is the vindication of our individual rights, which are a gift to us from God. That's why it's so critical.
Well, I appreciate that and can't say it any better than that. So Secretary Evenin, once again, thank you for being with us on the program today and for all of your efforts to secure our elections, and encourage everyone again to make sure that you're getting in your application for your mail-in ballot and or going to the polls on May 12th. And we're excited to know that our primary, our elections, will be moving forward as planned.
Nate, glad to be with you. Thank you.
If you would like more information or helpful resources for your family or your church during this time, be sure to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And when you visit our website, click on the COVID-19 Resources tab. We've just put together a page for churches and families with streamlined information that can be so helpful during this time. And you'll find important free resources on things like how to think biblically and lead through this crisis, answers to important legal and constitutional issues and questions for churches, resources for teaching kids at home, and a whole host of information on help for families during the coronavirus crisis on many different topics and issues. And it's all for free, and you can find it at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We are committed to continuing to provide light and liberty for churches, pastors, and families throughout this time, and we're honored to get to serve families and churches across Nebraska. Thank you again to our special guest today, Secretary of State Bob Evenin. That's all the time we have for today. We'll be back next week with more updates and information. Until then, I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next time. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.